Good evening, everybody. It's good to be here again. And it's been a little hectic around the house. And we had a little thunderstorm a couple of weeks ago on Sunday afternoon. Where I built my building for my shop to begin with, which I turned into a house, and we got into it in the day before Halloween, 1978. So we've been there ever since, or I have. And my wife, she passed away there in at the hospice house. And she had been there all that time, or most of that time. And it's gotten to be home, and it certainly was for many years, the geological people come through and they said, well, where your house is, Green River, North Carolina, over back in toward Bard, back in there. There's a granite shelf that goes from there all the way back through us, Oconee County, and down, and it goes under Hartwell Lake. And it winds up at Stone Mountain. So it's part of Stone Mountain, Georgia, which is right near Decatur, Georgia. That's in the suburb of Atlanta. And I guess that whatever that is draws electricity, and so we get a little pump out of that every once in a while. That's the reason we got out of the house business, because we were getting hail hit all the time, because all this was drawing in, I guess, those things in the air, and got us in a situation that we felt like we couldn't make any money out of, so we got out of that. But needless to say, it's still hanging around. It's still with us in a sense. Turn with me back to John 12. And we'll pick up again with there. I want to go back and read. We got down through verse 20. Or to verse 20. We got down through verse 19. But I want to go back and read 19 again of John 12. Said in 19, the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive you how you prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him, talking about Christ, about Jesus, because he had come back there for the Passover. And so when we get to verse 20, it talks about that. And so it says the 12th day of Nisan. And this was the third day before Passover, Sunday 6 p.m. to Monday 6 p.m. Of course, our time was their Sabbath. In that situation, and they call it preparation days or day or whatever. And it said, and there were certain Greeks in 20 there among them that came up to worship at the feast. Well, give you a little idea about the crowd there. Now, Lazarus had just been raised not long before. And Lazarus was in the group that came there from where Lazarus' burial place was, probably close to his home. And they were a great bunch of people that were there that seen him float out of that grave, and they had to loose him because evidently, and I don't know why they do that, no one has ever explained that to me really good, but, you know, they put a napkin over their face like they're going to cover the eyes to protect them from whatever. But the grave clothes has places to where they can face them up, like it's like they're going to get out. No, they don't get out of that, generally speaking. This is a special deal here because Christ waited till the fourth day to go back there to make sure that their little catchphrase they had, well, the spirits wander around for 3 days after this individual passes, waiting for something to happen to give him his life back. Where again, and they really don't believe in resurrection either. So I don't know what the scoop is here. It's it's whom you believe and what you're listening to, I guess, in a situation, because in a basic sense, they didn't think much about resurrection either, because they had seen people brought back to life that had just died. Well, their thoughts with this were they didn't really die. They just got into a situation where they couldn't help themselves get back. And then someone miraculously touched them or whatever, and they came around. And so that was the thought with the high priest of the day. Now, he hadn't been high priest long, not over 4, 5, 6 months that he had only been the high priest, but he said he had read somewhere where one would come and have to give his life for the nation of Israel. And he had made the decision, I think, within himself, since he was the high priest, that, yep, this is the man. He's going to be the man. But they could never catch him to hold him. They'd be with him, and all of a sudden, he wouldn't be there, evidently. And so it was, I think some of them really thought it was a kind of trickery situation. Somehow that he could make himself to where they couldn't do anything with him. And so when the talks come up about killing him or stoning him, and he said, well, we'll stone him, you know, because he's blaspheming against God. He's saying he's the Son of God equal to God. And, so this was the situation. And so because of the Passover, and this is preparation day, because what they do is they buy lambs, those that don't have lambs, they buy a lamb, and that's the Passover lamb. But no, not in this case, it's not going to be the Passover lamb, because the Passover lamb is walking amongst them and telling them these things, and they don't believe what being told, and he's going to be the Passover lamb for the world. The world. And so, you know, there's a lot's going on here. And so, you got people coming there now too. That's coming there and they're not Jews, but they have felt like they have been brought into the Jewish hope at that point in time. And so, read again, it says in 20, and there are certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Look at 21. And he said, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sirs, we would see Jesus. So, there was still a lot of stuff going on in 20 there. And, in the notes in the Companion Bible talks about this, that they were Hellenes, i.e. Gentiles, not Greek speaking Jews or Grecians. And, if you want to look at it, you can go back to Acts 6:1 and Acts 6:9, 29. And it says these people were among, and among equals out of, in the Greek, it's out 104 VI, one or 11, I can't read me right now, them that came up to, or were coming up according to customs at the time of the feast to worship, and to worship there, and the Greek word is prosukneo, and this is out 137-1. And this word, be in the outer course of the temple called the court of the Gentile. And that's where they would have to come to worship because they wouldn't be allowed into the confines where the Jews worshiped because they were proselytes. They were people that had been brought in. And so, you think about this for a minute, and you got all these folks coming, and a lot of them are Jews, which should be coming there because they've been doing the Passover for a good long, all these years. But then you got others that are coming, and then you had others that come because Lazarus was there and Jesus was there. And then a great number of them had seen Lazarus raised from the dead. So this was kind of like a this was one that you know, they talk about becoming like a movie star or something. And, so it was big doings there around that third day of the, before they were going to crucify Christ. Okay. And also said that they would not be allowed to eat the Passover Unless they were proxenic folks. And we can find that in Exodus 12:48, because you have to go all the way back to Exodus to get where these people were wanting to join in what the hope of Israel was looking for in that situation, all the way back to the book of Law. Then it said in verse 21 said this, Twenty-three and 24, they all kind of go together, because this is, a lot of this is explanatory as to all these that were gathered together, and it was a kind of a hodgepodge of people with different thoughts and different understandings, and some of them wanted to join, I think, because they thought maybe they didn't have any hope at all. So it says in 21, the same came therefore with a plea or a wish to Philip. They came and picked Philip out of the crowd and said, okay, we have a wish. Or plea, which was, and Philip, of course, which was a Bethesda. And we've talked about that for just a little bit, about 141 of Galilee, probably. It says these Greeks were from there, or had come from there, and desired him, saying, sirs, we would see Jesus. Or better yet, we wish to see. In the Greek, the see there is the Greek philem, or idai, about 133, Roman numeral 1. -2, to see Jesus. So this is a situation now that I think Philip, when he got there, he may have not been ready for this. And so, it caused probably, some feelings one way or the other through these people. And so, therefore, all this is just not going off as well as everything expected to be. And there's a lot of different things. A lot of people moving. A lot of people won't do this, that, or the other. And others didn't want any part, really, in all any of it, other than to go out and to give their little lamb over so it could be slain and the blood given to them. And then they would turn around and cook the meat of the lamb and eat it for that supper. And that's the reason for one of these suppers they're having here. They had one for Lazarus when he came back around, but now, they're going to go down and have one with this guy that's got leprosy. I forget what his name was. I don't know that I ever wrote it down in this study here, but, and then they're going to have really the real Passover. And that takes place after, Judas Iscariot, you know, does what he does. And then after that, after the Sabbath, that part of that Sabbath is over, then they're going to go and have their supper. We haven't got there yet. Won't get there in this study or probably even the next study, but it will come to pass. Okay. So that's where we got to there in verse 21. And it says verse 22, that Philip cometh and telleth Andrew what they were wanting to do. I think they were wanting to have a face-to-face meeting with his son. Yeah. And,
you know, there's a note that alludes that Philip kind of had a Gentile name, and maybe they were like distant Gentile friends of his.
Yeah.
Trying to get to Jesus through Philip. Yeah. Pretty interesting.
And so he went to Andrew with it.
Yeah.
To kind of pass the book. Think a little bit. Maybe that's the way that worked, but there's just so many little things going on here in a sense that, you could say it was more than hectic, I'd say.
And it's almost like from Jesus' reaction that he was waiting for this to happen as an indicator, like, okay.
Yeah, well, this is
my time is coming.
Leading up to a glorification here.
Yeah.
It's really what.
Pretty interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew full stop. So that's a pretty profound thing, you know, when the word tells you to stop and think on these things, on this thing. So there has to be a reason why that happened. I think you hit it right on the nail pretty good. And Andrew was, Philip's name was more conforming to them than Andrew was, but Andrew was a closer individual to Jesus himself. So, since being probably the true Jew.
Yeah, he was in the first group of.
He was in, it said that he was belonged to the first group. And that, Philip belonged to the second group.
Yeah.
So I think they did it by, they kind of did their thing by, picking order or something.
Yeah, they sort of recognized the ones that knew the Lord the longest. So maybe the first one he chose and the second one he chose.
The closest one then. Next.
That's interesting.
And all that. So that is a very interesting way to look at these things and to realize that. And, we get to verse 23. Two more verses here dealing with this situation here. And it said, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Okay.
Big change here.
Yeah. And so in 23, it's very, kind of very short and straight put, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So, there's just not a lot of stuff, but there's enough that we realize that Andrew belonged to this one group, Philip belonged to another group, and then you talk about the Son of Man. Well, he is showing them right there. And what the Son of Man is. They look at him as Joseph and Mary's son. And he says, no, I am the Son of God. And the Son of God and the Son of Man are one, but for two different reasons.
Yeah.
One of the promises were made to the Jews, and the other, now we have promises made because God is now looked upon by those as being the Son of Man, that he is one that has come to declare and to take away their sins, because they have not had now for 33 years, they haven't had a prophet other than the rest of Malachi and the rest of I can't even think of the other one now. That and they were in different places, but they were prophesying. Both of them were prophesying about the coming new age, the New Testament time coming. And
come on, Malachi?
Not Malachi. Well, Malachi did do some of that, but the other one that said it'd be 430 years, or that was the way it showed up in the companion Bible, at the date time, and that they would be one to come, and he would have nail prints in his hand. And he said, if you had a son talking to people, they come home and said, I'm the prophet of Christ. Take him out and slaughter. That's not true.
Yeah.
You're not to give him any clothing that says he is in that position with God. And so they hadn't had anybody basically for a long time until Christ came back. And then he had to wait the 30 years before he could start because he wasn't married. He was still looked at in the law as being belonging to Joseph and Mary. And so they could be really put to shame or whatever for what he might say or teach. And so he didn't do that until, you know, they went to the marriage feast and he changed the water into wine. They drank that water that was supposed to wash the people's feet. Nothing ever had tasted any better to them. But that's the way things work when it's done for the right reasons. And Jesus said to them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man, not the Son of God, but the Son of Man, should be glorified. And it said, you know what, if at halftime, I'll go there, out 98, XVI was 16, and out 99, talking about the glorification process. Then we get to verse 24. Verily, verily, and it says this is the 17th occurrence of this in the book of John, or maybe maybe in the New Testament, the occurrence of this double word.
Double amen. Yeah.
Amen. And it said in John 1:51, that goes back to the start of the book of John, where there's a big list of things there that they're going to talk about. And all of them have a great significance of importance to mankind in general, not just to the Jews, but to all of the world, if you will. And he said, and I say unto you, except, or if not, a corn of wheat fall. And this is the seed corn of the wheat. Because wheat is a separate grain of itself on a stem. It's just like you get in corn. If you look at an ear of corn, there's all these rows and all these kernels are joining and joined by touching each other. But think about, they call it a corn of wheat. When a wheat shaft comes up and it branches out into all these different things, and on each branch, there's one grain in each one of those little stems that comes off of that. So that gets to be a situation when you look at it in terms of what's real and what's not real. It's kind of like it goes back to an individual situation, not like a whole.
Yeah, the single seed.
Ear of corn.
The single seed has to fall and die.
And die in order for it to bring many pieces back.
Yep.
But you don't drop a whole ear of corn into the ground.
Nope.
Because you won't get anything from it. But it's a bunch of crap. You know what I mean? They'll all try to come up in my place and do that. So here's this situation here. This occurrence here. Now this double amen, it says, say unto you, except, or if not, a grain of wheat fall, the seed corn of the wheat into the ground. And the Greek word that is the word kokos in the Greek. K-O-K-K-O-S. Kokos. And that occurs seven times in Matthew. 13:31, 17:20. And I guess the main one to this, and then you go to Mark 4:31, and then Luke 13:19, and you go to Luke 17, and look at verse 6. And then it changes a little bit. And it talks about leaving the corn of wheat and going to a mustard seed.
No.
And so, what is there about the mustard seed, okay? And it said here, and then you go from there to 1 Corinthians 15:27.
37, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be 15:37.
Yeah.
From the Chico's notes.
37.
Yeah.
Okay. Mustard seed here, and or by a loan, or if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It's the mustard seed is just like all the other seeds. When it springs forth, it multiplies itself. And so this is another situation that it shows you. You can look at what has given to man and realize that one little seed if it's done the right way, that it can do a lot of help to a lot of people. And so this is kind of like saying, well, this guy says, I and the Father are one, and we're going to get to the point where it says, well, someone's going to die for many.
Yep.
Well, this is like the seeds of all these seeds that we talk about here. Whether it be corn, whether it be wheat, or whether it be very, very tiny seed of mustard seed. It's got all them ingredients in that one little seed.
Make a brand new plant.
To make a pot that will ground and grow. Mush.
I think the Lord was a master at using simple things that people understood.
Yeah.
Like a seed giving up its life and dying.
Yeah.
And then the first fruits. They knew what the first fruits certainly were.
Right.
So when he was resurrected, that's what he called himself.
Absolutely.
The first fruits, yeah.
And, God said it dies in the ground alone, but if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. One of the characteristic words in this gospel is that, again, see page 1511. That's the very first page of John when it laid out all these things. It was important. That was in there too.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the book. And these things, it's all these different situations there. Are in there to show you the importance of what Jesus was teaching here. We get that. So this is the reason. We go back to verse 21 and look at 21 and say, okay, this goes all the way down through 24 to give you the reason to go there and look at that. And to realize that what he is teaching is very, very simple in nature, because everyone knows that, you know, Jesus, at one time, Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you got to separate the wheat from the tares because they get planted together because they're so close to looking alike, but when they come up and they grow and come to fullness,
can't tell them apart.
Then you can't really tell apart until you thresh them out. And when they're threshed out, evidently their color's a little.
Till harvest time, yep.
Yeah. And then, you know, you've done all this work and you've gathered all this stuff up, but some of them ain't worth anything. Well, does that sound like the way people are? Oh, absolutely. They make a good show, but they don't have any real concerted effort at doing what God would ask them to do. Then in verse 25 it goes, 25 and 26 go together, and this is words to the disciples, not to the rest of the throng of people that are there, but this is a direct deal to the disciples. 25, 26. It says, he that loveth, in the Greek, that word is phileo, out 135, Roman numeral 1, number 2. He that liveth his life, suke. And that finished 110, Roman numeral 3-1. And the appendage 170-3 plus Matthew 10:29 and then 16:25-26 and Mark 8:35-37. Luke 9:24. Luke 17:33. Talking about they shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep to guard or to preserve it. In the Greek there, that is phileso. And this is only used in John. This word is basically two or three times. John 17:12, unto life, that word is the little word eis, and then the word zoe, and Acts 1:71 speaks of it being eternal, for eternal life. And so the disciples ought to be able to pick up on this, and then he says this: if any man or anyone serve me, let him follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. And that's another full stop. So he says, if any man comes into understanding and he serves me, he does what I want him to do or what he has been told to do, because this is going to be a works, that deal when it comes to life eternal. Because you've got to be productive to God through the law into this situation. So he says, if he does that, where I am, there shall my servant be. Stop and think about that for a minute. Because now, as we are getting over into this new covenant, this new agreement, with all these things that Paul is going to bring in these books, or these, answering these letters and all these things, it's going to be important for them to know these things. And it says, and if any man service me, he will my Father hand over, honor, no, him will my Father honor. In the Greek there is the Father, in this app is 198, over Roman numeral 3. It'll be done with honor. And that Greek word is Timeo. And it's only used here by John here. And John 5:23. And John 8:49. And so these two verses basically aimed at the disciples and their teaching and their followers that they had there at Pentecost, because they were many that had come. And, you know, you get to looking at these things and thinking about them, gee, man, they, people from everywhere come to this. And then we get down to verse 27 where it says, now. And don't mean now in a day or two. It don't mean 6 hours from now. It don't mean 3 hours from now. It means now. Now means now. At this moment. Not the way it was in other places in John. Now the hour is come. He's making a statement there because it's going to be followed by other statements that lets them know pretty precisely what he's trying to say to all people, not just the disciples. But he did stop long enough to pick out the disciples and say, okay, this is what I want to say to you. But now, the hour has come. It says, is my soul suke, are used in the personal sense, meaning me, myself. 1:10, I'll be, you could say in Roman numeral 4-1, troubled. He said, now I'm troubled. So he comes to the point where now he knows. So now he's going to have to make it plain how he must die. Okay. And he asks a question. I don't know who to. He says, what am I to say? That's maybe Father, save me from this hour. Do I need to say this? I don't know. But for this, here calls came out. He said, I'm here because of this, and the time is now.
I think the guy that wanted to see him that asked Philip and Andrew, you know, that all they wanted to do, we would like to see Jesus. Well, when they asked him, evidently these guys could hear what the Lord said, and he just goes into this, okay, my hour's come.
Yeah.
The time is now.
It's here.
It makes you wonder what they thought, like, what's he talking about? You know, we didn't mean to make him mad. What's going on here? If you could get in their mind and know what they thought right at that moment, they were completely confused about what was happening.
Yeah. It says, for this cause was the hour. And then we got that was verse 24 and 25. Let's see, 25 says this, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there so also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And he says in 27, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came out to this hour.
This is the reason I'm here.
This is why I'm here. You have to kind of read it together for it to make sense. Then he says in verse 28, now I love the notes in 28 here. It says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Okay. So, I will say, Father, glorify thy name. And Father is at 198. That's three. It said, then came a voice from heaven saying, and heaven here is singular. It said, read Matthew 6, 9 through 13, on page 1320 in the CB. It said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the Father's name was glorified. Where? Well, let's read that. Let me go back to John and look at saying, I have glorified it, we'll glorify it again. In 28 says this in the notes. I have there, and what's behind that is this. The Father's name was glorified in the wilderness by the Son's victory over the tempter.
Matthew 4.
Yeah. It was about to be glorified again by the final victory over Satan in the contest beginning at Gethsemane and ending at the empty tomb.
Good note. I agree.
When you look at that and what has been said here, and if they could understand this that has been written about it here, like it has been written, there should not be any problem as to how this thing's going to play out. But that's not the way. People that don't have the ears, they can't hear it. And so 28 gives you a sense there that the glorifying, again, the final victory over Satan in the contest, beginning in Gethsemane and ending at the empty tomb. And it said in 29, the people, and it's always this great throng of people that were there. This is important. It's important not only to the Jews, but those who believed God and felt like they had been proselyted in, and certainly probably were. They heard a sound, but they could not distinguish what it was. They heard a voice, but listen, God does things in many different ways. And one of the things is that that sound can be heard by people but not understood, just like the voice can be. If the voice was not for you, you just heard a noise. But if the voice was you, for you, then you could hear what it said. So, that's really profound thing in my view of things.
Yeah, that's a...
So, in 29, and it said, and that were in 30, well, in 29, and others said, after a full stop, because they couldn't distinguish what it was, so there was no point in really arguing about it. But for some, it made sense. For others, it did not. And others said, an angel spoke to him. And, but the Son of Man said, wait a minute. Verse 30. Jesus answered, said, the voice not come not because of me. Or my
on account of me.
Account of me. Yeah. Die of me.
Yeah.
But for your sake. The die was for you.
Yep. Yeah. We didn't need to hear it. They needed to hear it.
Yeah. He said, now is the judgment. Judgment there is the word crisis at 177-7.
Yes. It's a crisis. Yep.
Yeah. Reached when the world proclaimed or judged against Christ and his claims of this world. Now shall the prince, the ruler, the archos, applied to Satan as prince of this world, the Greek cosmos, being cast out or thrust out.
No, wait a minute. He was with the Lord there early in John, also early in Matthew. He was on the earth, Satan was. Now, he's going to be put in the heavens. He's going to be kicked off the earth now. Revelation talks that there's coming a day, great tribulation, he's coming back to the earth again.
Yeah.
So in the present time, he's not here.
He's not.
Satan himself is not here. Yeah. And this is the verse that I've been looking for a while. I forgot it was in John, that tells you when he was thrust off the earth.
Yeah.
That's what the cast is trying.
Okay. That was the 2 days before this was going to take place.
Yeah. And he's been in the heavens ever since.
Yeah.
And will be there until great tribulation comes upon the earth once again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, to be, it said the noise wasn't for you because judgment now is being brought on him.
Yep.
Because God dealt with him in a certain way in the Garden of Eden, but he's now dealing with him as being.
And we know Satan was personally with him when he tempted him in Matthew 4, earlier in his life.
Yeah.
But now we've got to the point where Satan can't hang around anymore. He's judgment's here. He's got to go.
He's out of here. Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
Yeah, that's, he said he is exoten. He is without or outside of anywhere now. He's beyond.
Off the earth.
The earth.
I believe he resides in space at this very moment.
Yeah.
Always, he's been there for quite a while. He was there back when Daniel wrote, because he fought with Michael and his angels there.
Yeah.
But sometime between there, he came to the earth, and now his time on the earth is gone.
Okay.
And someday he's coming back to the earth, evidently the third time.
Well, that's a good place to stop.
So. Yeah, that's a good verse.
We'll go on from there. the next time, but this is, all this from 20 to 30 something, and we're not through with this yet, but we can go to 36. And all this kind of goes together, but when you get to a point where he has been judged and moved away.
And so has Satan. Yeah.
Yeah, Satan has.
Oh, yeah.
And so, that's a good place to pick it up and go with from there, because there's a lot still be known. And we need to go back to John 1 again and look at the list and look at Alp 98 and 99.
Yeah.
And look at those words in there and get
glorified
and get the situation as to the glory that he has that he can put upon mankind or even upon saints kind. And, kind of get an idea of what is still around the cult. Down the room.
Amen. Good stuff.
And,
very good.
But, you know, if you don't stop and read it and tell it, get these, tidbits that scripture can give you, and also.
That's what I was going to say. The book tells the story if you'll just pay attention to the detail.
Right.
You can find all your answers there.
Yeah. And not have to be worried about it too much, but Tiny asked me a question. And I was talking to her about, we've been in 1 Corinthians and how different it was between a man and a woman that maybe couldn't see eye to eye all the time.
Yeah.
And I said, well, the book states that, well, maybe if one of them have true faith, that the other will get joined to that in a sense. And she said, well, is this what it said, that you'd be saved as by fire? I said, no, don't think so. I said, you going back to Thessalonians, ain't you?
Yeah.
And she said, well, yeah, I was reading that. And I said, well, listen, Thessalonians was part of the first books that Paul had written, and those people were going to be picked up off the earth and moved up, and then the fire was going to come and destroy the earth. And when it's restored, then they're going to be set right back down.
And then they had the kingdom. They would have the hope of the city.
Yeah, they would have keys to the kingdom in that sense.
Yeah.
She said, well, that's what it means to be trialed by fire. I believe that to be true.
No.
She said, okay, that's that question. But I said, well, now, how long have you been doing this work again? I said, so I'm hearing stuff that I've never heard you say before.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe.
She said, well, you won't hardly let me talk. And I said, well, I'm letting you talk. And we talked 3 hours a night.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's good. Maybe so.
Thank God for.
Yeah. Amen.
Small favors. And she said during that time that I wasn't talking, and she was. She said, well, me and Davis over a quite long period of time now, we've been going to your TFT thing. I said, we've been listening to a lot.
For the website?
Yeah.
Well, that makes it worth it right there for the recording. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Amen.
But, and then she went on and told me, but I think the guy they've got this group over there somewhere around pretty close to Biggerstaff retreat down there, because I saw a little sign there today that said when we were coming back from something, and I'm thinking she's telling me that that's the guy
doing the teaching
that's been teaching them some Hebrew. And I said, well, I got a little book of Hebrew. It's 52 words. But I said, that'll keep you going for a long time.
I know, yeah.
And I said, have you heard of Halak and Yolak? And she said, no. No, what's that? And I said, well, we had this a long, long time ago when I started. And I said, I found out that Halak is the way the old man was seeing you on this journey. And I said, when you come to the fork of the road and God has changed your mind somewhat, then Yolak is the way that God wants you to go.
No.
And the Holy Spirit now, under the tutelage of the Son of God, in you will direct you that way if you let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you won't have any more questions about some of the things you, I know you've had a lot of time
about. Well, folks, we enjoyed it. Looks like we're going to keep having a Bible study, but we'll close with prayer and let you guys get out of here. Bow with us. Father, again, we thank you for all your grace and mercy and love. Father, we thank you for the lesson tonight and what we gleaned from it. Father, we thank you for the Gospel of John and the things that are revealed to us, Father, through that gospel that still resonate even today. And help us grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And ask that you would continue to be with us and be with all those that travel. Lead, God bless and keep us. Be with those in the path of these fires. Father, we pray for the relief for these fires nationwide, especially the one in Arizona. Father, we pray that you will bless, keep, and protect all those according to your will and purpose within our grasp. For it's in Christ's name we do humbly pray. Amen.
Amen.